Good evening. How many of you are tired? How many of you are awake and ready to go this evening? All right. How many of you are just preach quick so we can go home early? It's a pleasure to be able to come and preach this evening. And for those of you who have not met the newest addition to our family, right in the back here is our daughter, Abigail. She's only 13 days old, so if she doesn't talk to you yet, don't be surprised. She may coo, she may giggle, she may do some other stuff. If you hear a little noise, that's probably because she's hungry. Or she may be hearing her dad, I don't know. She's here, and I'm glad that my wife and child are able to come and join us this evening. So with that, let's take our Bibles. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, we're not going to move around really much at all. We're only going to look at 10 verses. But Matthew chapter 28, and as you're turning to Matthew 28, let me give you by way of introduction this paragraph here. Jesus has risen from the dead. Obviously, we're celebrating the resurrection. You think, duh, that's what we're here for, okay? But let's set the scene here. Nothing like this has ever happened or taken place in history. What I mean by that is someone raising their own self from the grave. You've had people been risen from the dead. Elijah and Elisha raised people from the dead. Jesus raised people from the dead. Lazarus being the more prominent one, but someone themselves being risen from the dead, that's only an act of God. So, but seeing someone die and then being told 3 days later he is alive again, that would be a shock to a lot of people, and it was. You read the accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. A lot of people were just surprised that, hey, he's actually up. He's actually walking around. But now, some people believe that this could be a fairy tale, but it wasn't. It was real, it was genuine, and it was authentic. But now we pick up the narrative where the religious people and the others are trying to understand and cope with the events that happened earlier that day, and the reaction to others seeing the Savior. Matthew chapter 28, let's look at verse 11 to 13. We'll pray, and then we'll look at chapter 11 to the end of the chapter here. Matthew 28, verse 11, the Bible says these words. By the way, this is something I'm going to use because I like the phrase, but I'm going to say it anyway. When we open the Bible, this is someone else who said it, and I like it, and I want us to think this evening. When we open up the Bible, we're opening up the mind of God. I want us to see what God is thinking about here in this passage. Verse 11, but when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel and gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Tonight I want to talk to you about hiding Jesus. Do people hide Jesus? Well, I submit to you this evening, as we look in this passage, is that we should not hide Jesus. We should share him with as many people as you can. People do hide Jesus. Unbelievers definitely do, and even some Christians do. And we're going to look at how not to do that this evening. Father, we come to you in prayer. We look into your word. I pray that you just help us to understand, help us to grow thereby. Help me as I preach. Help it to be clear. Help it to be easy to be understood. Help us as we're here listening, for those watching by way of live stream, that you would just work through them and help them be able to hear the message this evening. And I pray that you just help us just to set aside any distractions that we may have, that we can focus in on your word here for these next few minutes. We pray and ask these things here in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, why do people hide Jesus? Why is that? Well, there's some theories as we get in. If you're here for the sunrise service this morning, you may have heard some of these, but there's some people who have theories about the crucifixion. Number one is this idea of a Passover plot, which is the disciples meet before the crucifixion and plan the resurrection of Jesus. So basically they plot, they say, okay, Jesus is going to look like he's going to die, and then we're just going to say, hey, he's risen from the dead, the Passover plot, or the wrong tomb theory. Basically, they went to the wrong tomb. When Mary and the other Mary went, they just went to the wrong tomb. So did Peter and so did John. They just went to the wrong place. Another theory is the stolen body theory, which is the one that really happens here, is that the Jewish guards paid to say that the body was stolen. Another one is the swoon theory. Just he didn't die, he just fell asleep. Another one is the myth view. It's accepted as true over time. Basically, it's a fairy tale. It's a nice little thing. Jesus passed away. Yeah, and he resurrected. Yeah, that's a nice fairy tale. And then you have the vision hallucination theory, where it requires a mass hallucination of at least 515 people. Basically, Jesus was his mirage, and he really wasn't real. I mean, people are just a bunch of hallucinating crazy weirdos, is basically what they subscribe to this. And then the last theory that people think is it was a spiritual resurrection, that Jesus did not raise up bodily, that he was just a spirit floating around and talking to people. Well, if here's the spirit walking around talking to people, why did he have Thomas touch him? Well, Thomas was doubting, and he had him touch him to find out why, that he was real. So let's look at, why do people come up with these ideas? Why is it that people will come up with these ideas to try to talk away or try to basically push away Jesus and not accept who he is? Well, number one is to hide people from Jesus. To hide Jesus from the people. Because they don't want people to know the truth. So they're going to try to find every single way to make it as false as they can. Number two, to prove that he wasn't real. Now you're going to have a pretty hard time with that. Because in historical records, Jesus existed as a person. The problem that people have is the fact that they don't believe that he is the Savior. That's the difference. He lived on the earth, but they don't believe that he is their personal Savior. Number three, it's to turn people away from the true God who is real. That's why people try to hide Jesus, because they don't want to accept the fact that there's a higher power and they have to submit to that. Number four, it's rebellion against God. Again, people just don't want to accept the fact that Jesus is real, and so they're going to try to find every way to go against God. And number five, even a certain Bible version casts down the resurrection account. They think maybe this isn't true. Mark 16:9-20, they put a little asterisk in this version, and they say, well, we're not sure about this because it maybe didn't occur in some of these manuscripts. Well, now you're trying to put a doubt in the Bible, and if you're trying to take away from the Bible, I mean, if the resurrection isn't true in one account, but it's true in the other three, now you've got a Bible that's full of lies. I mean, that's pretty awful, okay? But let's get away with all the chit-chatter here. Let's look at the Bible. Let's look at the two reasons why one group of people hide Jesus and why we should not be hiding Jesus. Verse 11, the religious people's fears come to life. Verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. The watch here would have been the Roman soldiers or the sentry, a soldier that was stationed at a place to stand guard and prevent the passage of unauthorized persons. So in Matthew 27, they planted soldiers there. Why? Because they thought, oh, this deceiver is going to come and steal the body, and then they're going to even make this error worse than the first. So they literally planted two people there to make sure that no one could steal the body. So you cannot say that the body was stolen because they put two soldiers there and they sealed it. I mean, are you going to try to go up to a Roman soldier and try to get in there? Probably not. These disciples, they didn't have the weapons to do it. There's no way. So they were placed there. But here's what happens. He continues. And they show unto the chief priests all the things that were done. The soldiers that were there, they were there watching and seeing. And they basically told them what happened. The quake came. The angel came, spooked them. They passed out. So, because of this idea, now they start to discuss some things. Verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, so they try to figure out all the events that happened, try to comprehend exactly what happened. Here's what they do. They gave large money unto the soldiers. What happened there? They bribed them. They said, hey, we know this is happening. We want to believe you, but just to make sure that this doesn't spread, I'm going to give you money to hush and say this. Verse 13. saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept." I mean, they did use money to betray Jesus, the same religious people. They gave Judas Iscariot 30 pieces of silver to betray him. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that these same exact religious people would try to use money to hush it up once again. In verse 14, it said, if that doesn't work, verse 14, if this craze gets a little more so, 14, and if this come to the governor's ears, Pilate, we will persuade him and secure you. So basically, they said, yeah, you know what? We're going to convince, we're going to pacify Pilate. We're going to say, hey, you know what? These people are lunatics. These people, they just don't know what they're saying. It's really not true. Jesus didn't really raise up from the dead. I mean, even the soldiers who were there watching the tomb, they say he wasn't risen. And the soldiers say, yes, 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 even though they have a nice pocket of money inside their wallets, because they're lying. But people want to hide Jesus. Verse 15, so they took the money and did as they were taught. So they did what they were told to do, to lie about the resurrection. And what does the Bible say? And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. The religious people still deny the resurrection to this day. We're not referring to the Jewish people here when it says the Jews. It's referring to the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, all those guys. Because they don't want to believe that Jesus is the Savior. And so it's still taught today, even in 2023, that Jesus is not the Savior. He is not the Messiah. They're still waiting for the Messiah. People want to hide Jesus because they cannot accept the fact that what he said is true. They cannot accept that the Bible is true, literal fact. So the people in this world want to hide Jesus. They want to consider him a good man, a good person in history, a historical figure, nothing more or nothing less. Status quo, just like all of us, just walking, breathing, human being. That's what people want to do. They want to hide Jesus. But why should we not hide Jesus? Let's look at, finally, why we shouldn't hide Jesus. Verses 16 to 20. Verse 16, the Bible tells us these words. Then the 11 disciples, obviously there isn't 12 because Judas betrayed Jesus and then he hung himself shortly thereafter. So there's only 11 here at this point. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Well, if Jesus was a spirit, there's no way they could have met him there because he would have been like this mystical ghost. No, Jesus said, hey, I'm up. I'm here. I want you to meet me there. Verse 17. And when they saw him, notice the two reactions. They worshiped him, but some doubted. So there were still some doubt. I mean, we know Thomas is the one that was listed in the Bible as the one who doubted because he wanted to actually feel and touch and make sure that this is actually Jesus. But some doubted, but they worshiped. We ought to worship Jesus. We worship the risen Savior. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. That's what we should be doing. We should be proclaiming Jesus Christ. We shouldn't hide him. Enough people do that today. You don't believe me? Just go watch the news. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now he's about to tell us what we should do to try to make sure we reveal Jesus, that we don't hide him. He's going to give us a few ideas here. First is to go. Verse 19. Go ye, therefore, you go and teach all nations. Teaching here is to instruct, to teach, or to make a disciple. So truly, go ye therefore, go truly, and teach all nations. Teach them and help them to come to me. And he says this, baptizing them, placing them into the family of God, leading them to the Savior. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Godhead here is to repent, to believe and be secure in the family. We've sinned against God, so we believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and we're given eternal security by the Holy Ghost. That's what he's telling us to do, to go and tell people about who he is. To go tell people that that they need to come and they need to repent of their sins and turn their faith and turn their hearts and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the first thing we need to do to not hide Jesus, to reveal Jesus, is to go and tell. Secondly, is to teach, to disciple, to train. What is this? Verse 20. Teaching them, those who have been baptized, placed into the family of God, teaching them to observe all things, to guard and protect those who are following Christ. One of the most vulnerable people who can be attacked spiritually are those who have just been saved, those who are babes in Christ. And so that's why it's the church's job to disciple them, and to teach them, and to encourage them, and to train them, because there are people who are going to try to come and try to sway them away. Too many times I've seen people, and I know pastors seen it too, where they get saved and then they go and they go off into some other teaching and false doctrine, and now they're somewhere else and they're not where they should be at. It says teaching them, help them to know what the Bible says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Listen to the things that are commanded by Christ. And then he gives us a comfort. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So Jesus, in order to reveal Jesus, in order to not hide Jesus, we need to go. Go and tell people about who he is and lead them to him. And then teach. And while you're teaching, know that God's still going to be with you. How do we know that? Lo, I'm with you always. Doesn't say sometimes, doesn't say most of the time. It says always. And what's always? Always. Without a doubt. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. Read the Psalms. Psalms. David acknowledges that God will never leave him or forsake him. And David, he had some persecution. He had some issues in life. He had some people against him, but he realized that God would never leave him, even throughout all the trials and the tribulations that he went through. So how do I share Jesus? I'm going to give you three ideas, and then we're going to conclude. Number one is this. Share your testimony. Tell people how you got saved. One, it's good to just help you remember yourself so that way you don't forget. But two, is so that way people can know, hey, I am just as ordinary as the next person next to me. There's nothing special about us per se. Only the fact that we have Jesus in our hearts, which is a very special relationship. And the thing is that anybody can get it. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter how old or young they are. Doesn't matter what stage in life they are. Anybody can ask Jesus, because we're just ordinary human beings. And we can still come to him. It's simple. Number two, share with them the gospel. Emphasize the need for salvation is because of our sin against God, and that even though we have sin, he wants us back to him. He wants to bring us back to him. And that's why he sent Jesus to buy us back, to redeem us, to bring us back to him and pay for our sins. And then number three is, don't make Jesus exclusive, but inclusive to all. Some people, maybe you, and I get this way too, where you kind of get a little shy and hesitant. You're like, do I really want to talk to that person? But sometimes we have to get over that fear and just ask God to help us to speak with boldness to that person. Because even though we may think, oh, that person, they'll never do it, maybe they're the one that's wanting to hear, and you just got to tell them. Everybody can come to the Savior. We don't need to make Christianity just for the select few. Other people believe that already. And that's not true. We need to make people, we need to be able to show people that, hey, they can be saved. And God wants everyone to be saved. All can believe if they trust in Jesus to save them, to forgive them of their sins, to save their soul, and to give them eternal life. And that's what God wants us to do. God doesn't want us to hide Jesus. He wants us to reveal him. Do not hide Jesus. The world and those against Christ do enough of that already. They try to distract from the truth and spread lies. We should be a light to those who need hope, who need peace. Folks, The world hides Jesus way too much. They really do. And sometimes as Christians, we can kind of be silent about it. Let some of these things pass through. Sometimes we need to just say, hey, we need to share with them what the Bible says. A lot of people don't have hope. A lot of people are trying to search for happiness this and the other way and go 10, 20 different directions to try to find happiness when all they need to do is to come to Jesus. And they can find the true happiness. And they can try to, and they can have the true peace. But they can't do that if we don't tell them. So let's not hide Jesus. Let's reveal him and let's make him known to everyone. Especially in this Easter season, this Resurrection Sunday. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the day you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be here together. Father, I pray that you would just help us to understand. Help us to be encouraged. Help us to be strengthened. Help us to just go where you want us to go. Be what you want us to be. Father, I pray that you just work in our hearts this evening, that if there's someone in here who does not know who Jesus is, that they've never asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior, they're not sure about it, that, Father, they would open their heart and that they would ask you to forgive them of their sins, to save their soul, and to get that gift of eternal life. And if they need help with that, that they would come during the invitation time and find one of us. We can talk with them about how they can know for sure that they're going to heaven. And for those who are in here tonight, Father, I pray that if there's a burden that someone has for somebody, that they would come to an old-fashioned altar, that they would pray, and that they would just pray for that person that they know that needs Jesus, and that they would be that person that had the boldness to be able to share the gospel with them, and that you would help our hearts to be convicted and to be moved this evening. Bless and move this invitation time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.